This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Can you just cut his mic off, please? Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott,
in my family,
Chris Candy now with us as well. Knows. In for the guys, Keyshawn and Zubin will be back next week. J. Will and his wife, Nikki, waiting for the arrival of their second child. We wait with them as well, so we'll hold it down for them. And we're just going to, like, I wish we were still, this was Zoom, because I just want to mute.
Yeah. Alan, I got to say this, because the people in the audience need to know this. Bart Scott is losing sports credibility by the minute. Because he just said during the break that he would rather watch the Pistons in the early 90s than the Chicago Bulls.
Are you high, Chris?
He'd rather watch
the tail end
of the Bad Boys. Yeah. He would choose to watch them over Michael Jordan.
Are you crazy?
Bulls. Yeah.
Listen,
yes, no, are you crazy?
Back-to-back titles. They went to the championship 3 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
88, 89, 90 was the year when they walked off, and they still were trying to hold on to their title. They still was a good team. So just because your team loses one title after they've been to 3-1-2, you just going to turn the channel? Okay. It took me to, like, the new breed Pistons to be turned off. The Lindsey Hunter, that teal color, whatever the hell they were wearing then, when I turned the channel.
Alan, I'm about to crush this whole argument right now. Can we direct the cameras to Bart Scott's footwear, please? Are those Isaiah Thomas sneakers you wearing? Are those Bill Laimbeer sneakers you wearing?
Not at all.
Oh, okay. All right. I was just curious about that. Because he just sat here and said, I would rather watch the Pistons in the 90s than the Chicago Bulls, yet the man is wearing Jordan sneakers.
Yeah, in the 90s.
Get out of here. Get out of here and get over yourself.
In the 90s, were you wearing Jordan?
You're the only person from Detroit that's still holding on to them early 90s Bad Boys. The only person. There ain't nobody else.
Okay, you got
there ain't nobody else.
Okay, the great organizations. You have the Celtics with all the titles. You have the Lakers with all the titles. What organization after that got three? The Pistons. So put some respect on their damn name, because they was a whole damn movement. And they were so influential as the Bad Boys that they had people out of L.A. rocking Detroit stuff. You better put – listen.
This is not rational, by the way, Alan, which is why I stopped talking. This is one of those Detroit versus everybody conversations,
Before,
and I'm just going to let it breathe right now.
Before I was wearing the J's, I was wearing the British Knights Derek Coleman's. Shout out Derek Coleman. And then when I was doing that, I was wearing the Weber's, son. I wore the J's not because I got bad feet. And they wide whip.
All I know is this all began with Bart telling me that he's watched more Michael Jordan than I have.
I have.
And I, everybody.
Scottie Pippen's a family member. And I grew up in the Midwest.
The Knicks.
You was out here watching the Knicks.
Yeah.
I was watching
he
the Pistons.
He tortured my team.
That's your fault.
You understand, Brian Quinnett, you don't even know who he is, do you? Brian Quinnett, second round pick.
I know who
He had 20-something points against Jordan in the first half. And this poor kid quit basketball after the game because of what Jordan did to him in the second half. He walked away. He went to Wall Street, walked right down the block, outside the garden, right down the block, went into Merrill Lynch and just said, I need a job because my last one, I can't do it anymore.
Listen, don't make me call Zeke. I call him right now. Let me call Zeke, tell him to come on, because y'all, I need some backup. I need some backup. Two New York guys trying to team up on me. You're going to tell me about Midwest basketball. Chicago's in the Midwest. I think we watch more regionalized
Thank you for the
TV in Chicago
lesson,
right? there.
I appreciate that.
You sitting up here talking about Derek Harper and Starks.
Never once did I mention either one of those guys.
That's who you was watching. I was watching Jeffrey.
That wasn't even the conversation.
And by the way, how this whole thing began, and we got more to get to, by the way.
Yeah.
But how this whole thing began is because we were talking about Kevin Durant and his return to the lineup last night and just how perfect he was, which is insane. And he said he is the
most unguardable player
in the history of the game. And I said, prime Jordan still to me is the most unguardable player.
Chris trying to be with you because he got a ride with you because of the Detroit thing.
He's allowed to disagree with me.
No, I'm not saying that. I will say this. I don't know that we've seen a guy – as efficient as a scorer as Kevin Durant.
He didn't break
is.
A sweat.
I don't know that we've seen that. Alex.
He didn't play the Pelicans. Who was guarding him?
The Pelicans are one of the worst defensive rated teams in the league. Guarding so, yeah.
Him. Did you see him have a conversation? He was talking to somebody, and they threw him a ball like, oh, man. Hey, man, no, what I want
that
you
did
to
happen.
Do. And the ball was in the damn air. He was like, no, you go, and they threw the ball. Oh, what's this?
That is true. That did happen.
What you want to do? I want you to roll on this pit. You know what I'm saying?
Like, we're just going to try stuff on the Pelicans like it's a preseason game?
Right, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looked like
it's
last
a scrimmage.
Night. They dropped 139 points. Yeah. They had 51 makes on 37 assists. Like, it was everybody.
See,
had
that's
a
the
stat
Chris
night.
I know, the one
it's
that agrees with me. I don't
it's
know who
this
guy came
everybody having
in
a stat night at the same time. And Kevin Durant was front and center. That was the guy that everybody wanted to see. Even his mama was at the game. Yeah. She was like, I got to be in the building to check this guy out and make sure he's good. But coming off of the bench, scoring 17 points in 19 minutes, I mean, it couldn't have went better for him. Yeah. And the fact that he said he wasn't going to be out there trying to pace himself, I think that's an encouraging sign because people were wondering what took so long to come back from a simple hamstring injury. And I think the short answer is, after last night's performance, that Steve Nats and the Nets staff, they were just being conservative in terms of trying to manage him and make sure that when he gets back, he's going to stay back.
Yeah, that's the main thing, obviously, is the health and keeping him healthy and getting James Harden back and then letting this group – what do you got? It's about 20 games left now in the season. We're at the almost a one-quarter
But the regular
of the season
doesn't
left.
Even matter for
but
them.
But you know
right?
what it is now, though, is we talked about scrimmage for the Nets with all these new pieces, including Blake Griffin, including LaMarcus Aldridge. They've all got to now have that – you know, the 10,000 hours together so that it all gets worked out and it gets figured out. Everybody figures out their roles and where they are and where they belong, make their mistakes during the regular season, and then get ready for a postseason, which if they stay healthy, that is a scary team.
So, Alan, based on where they're at in the Eastern Conference standings, though, I feel like they can make their mistakes for the rest of the regular season. They can make some mistakes. The first round of the playoffs, they can make some mistakes. The second round of the playoffs, it ain't going to really matter until they get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, and we'll see, obviously, who's there to meet them.
But all that being said, it sounds like Chris is giving me my basketball credibility back. So I appreciate you.
I mean, he's the second best player in the world behind LeBron James.
I'm just saying. You took it away.
Do I have to quiet coyote you again? Do I have to go quiet coyote on
you
again?
Listen, that's what happens when you drink energy drinks in the morning. No free sponsorship.
No free sponsorship. No, cover that up. Well, you know what? Speaking of goats, how about Tom Brady? Can we discuss Tom Brady here?
Yeah, okay.
Is it too late to discuss Tom Brady?
Cycle Tom?
Yeah, I think it might be. You know what? Because – yeah, I guess we'll have to tease this now, but it's too early to even get out of this. But anyway, it's Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin coming to you live from Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. It is clearly not Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, but it's Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, Chris Canty, Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion, and then this guy. What can I tell you? 888, say ESPN, 888-729-3776. For those who want to agree with me, if you agree with Bart, I'm sorry, all the phone lines are already filled. We won't be able to get to your calls. But now he kicks off the shoes.
Not rolling, no respect.
Why would you do that? You know the story behind those shoes and me, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's why every time you wear them around, my ankles hurt.
That's why I wear them.
You do, right? To remind me.
Exactly, the pain.
Of that moment.
Matter of
hey,
fact,
man, we can't have show-on-show crime here, man.
Send me some.
It's been going on. No, we might have a show divorce. We might have a show divorce.
Listen,
really? Oh, it's coming. Yeah,
who's going to get the dog?
Tomorrow I'm wearing British Nikes. DC, send me some British Nikes. And mailman, go to the mailbox and send me some LA Gear Likes because that's what I was rocking in the early 90s.
Good luck with
not
that.
Not J's.
All right, when we come back, we'll get back to what we were originally supposed to talk about and get the show back on track if we can, and that is Tom Brady. And as Giselle said to him after he won the Super Bowl, what do you have left to prove? We'll discuss that next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Can we get the extended like seatbelt for Chris? He's a defensive lineman. He's 6'9". Y'all putting him in the little man's chair. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Can you give him something that swivels without sides? Don't put borders on a big man.
I'm just saying, I know this is temporary. We're just filling in for the guys, but I mean the least they could do. It's been a couple of weeks.
They're gonna have to give you a bar stool.
Can I get something that gives me a little more wiggle room? Just a little bit.
You guys are doing that. I'm just in my head going, it was one of those days, not much to do.
Oh, for sure. Chilling 100%.
Old school crew. Sorry.
100%.
That's where I'm
but
at.
But you're
right
old school hip hop head, though. I love that about you.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Once we go mumble, I turn it off. So, anyways, Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, Chris Candy, in for the guys. So, this is what we were originally supposed to talk about, and that is Tom Brady. And Tom Brady's interview on Good Morning America with Michael Strahan, where he said several different things. Including answering the question that I guess he revealed right after the Super Bowl that Giselle, his wife, asked him,
yeah.
What do you still have left to prove?
I don't think proving it for me is the motivation. Like, I still want to play. You know, I got like a little sickness in me that just wants to throw a freaking spiral, you know what I mean? Also about football, once you stop, you can't go back and do it. I got some more football in me, not a lot, and I know that, but what I got left, I'm gonna give everything I got.
He's got such passion for the game, doesn't he? Like, you could tell. He just loves it. He admits it. I got this sickness. I just need the competition. I need it. I need to play. Some guys get burnt out. Some guys just want to walk away. He doesn't. He just wants to play. It's not about anything else. You've achieved everything. You've made a ton of money. You know, like what else is there? Well, it's because I love to play. You got to at least respect that.
It's no fun being in the drop-off line, dropping your kids off, man. Listen, nothing could replicate.
Tell
the,
us how you the, really the, feel, Bart.
Yeah, yeah, wow. Yeah, that's why I'm just keeping it real, man.
Thanks,
like,
Dad.
Listen, that's why you see guys like retire, unretire. Listen, man, like you go home and you try and tell the wife what's going on, and they got a program. They're like, hold up, bro, you a visitor here. You ain't never did none of this stuff. This is how we do things.
Nine to five.
You get up in the drop-off line. He like, man, he's sitting there, and then you got to have these fake conversations with other parents. You know, we get going on mandates and stuff like that. So, hey, man, let's take the kids off to Chuck E. Cheese. No, I don't like you. Like, I'm not about to hang out with you. So Tom's like, no, I'm gonna ride this thing to the kids at least get to middle school where at least I can have a tolerable conversation. I don't want to be sitting and watching the kids in the concert, stuff like that. Skype me. You know what I'm saying? FaceTime me. I'll watch it that way.
All the parents at your kids' schools are going to start giving you the side eye from this day forward.
Listen, when keeping it real goes wrong, they understand that. They don't be wanting to be.
They don't want that smoke, though.
Man,
huh?
Man, that's the most boring line, like when the wife
says. Will never be the team dad.
Yeah.
Never.
Nah, absolutely. Like, no, exactly.
They're not going to ask him to do the orange slices, Alan.
No, orange slices. No cupcakes, none of that stuff. Nah, like, that's not what Bart's about. Bart's not about small talk while waiting to pick up the kids.
Yeah, none of that, bro.
So, Bart, good weather today, huh? What'd you do?
He ain't trying to be a line getting interviewed about what it was like to play for Bill Belichick. Nobody want to hear all that stuff, man. He's like, man, pause. You know what I'm saying? He probably drop his kid off, open the door up, slide the door, just kick him out. Don't even walk him to the door because you don't want to talk to the people that's receiving your children.
Wow.
But, you know, with all that being said, though, you know, I think that, you know, you think about Tom Brady, he wanted to go down there and prove that he can win without Bill. Now he's such a loyal leader that he has an obligation to Tampa to not just give him one, to give him two. Right, which puts Tampa as an organization in rarefied air because that gives their organization three titles. One organization that was once the laughing joke, the running joke of the NFL, he gave them credibility. They had lost that credibility in between the Warren Sapp years and the John Lynch years, and now he gives them credibility. He wants to leave this organization in a better place than when he found it. Right, so now he's like, all right, I'm not just going to give you one. I'm going to give you two. Then I'll ride off into the sunset. Point proven,
because you still got to win the second one, Bart. It's not like I'm going to give you. It's just, but I give you the chance to win it. But I want to ask you guys this too: is there was another thing that he said that we were discussing during the break where his motivation was in saying this, and that is that, you know, the idea of starting over after two decades with the Patriots. Brady called it invigorating, but he said, you know, when you're at the Patriots, everyone would always come to me and introduce themselves because I was kind of the mainstay. But I was a new guy for the first time, that he felt like it was a different experience and it meant a lot. But when he talked about Belichick, he said he gave him all the praise in the world. Great motivator, you know, great feel for the team, great pulse for what's going on in the locker room, great intuition, great evaluation of talent. When you're in one place for 20 years, you think that's the only way. And I think when you go to a different place, you realize, wow, there is another way that people do things. Is that a shot at the Patriot way, or is that him just sort of having that fresh perspective of, I only thought this was the only way to really win, but I've learned, no, there isn't.
Yeah, I think that latter point that you make, I don't think Tom Brady is that naive. Like, there's no world in which I believe Tom Brady thought, you know, I'm not sure about whether or not I can have success outside of New England away from Bill Belichick. I think his comments on GMA the other day, they have to be interpreted as a shot at Bill.
Really?
They have to be. I don't think you can take it any other way, because we've made so much of the Patriot way the 20 years prior to Tom going down to Tampa, and it's been about the system, and it's been about no player being above Bill Belichick and the hoodie knowing what's in the best interest of the program moving forward. I think Tom Brady realized at the end of it that it wasn't going to go his way. Bill Belichick wasn't going to give him the runway to end his career on his terms. It wasn't going to happen. Like, if you think back to 2017, Bill Belichick wanted Jimmy Garoppolo to stay there, and Tom Brady went around him to the owner and was able to force a trade, and they moved him on to San Francisco. But that was Bill Belichick's succession plan for Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady saw the end of being quarterback for the New England Patriots, and so I think this success that he's had down in Tampa and what his comments were the other day, I think that's him saying, I knew better than Bill Belichick. Everybody wanted to blame me at the end of it with the Patriots, but it really wasn't my fault. It was the supporting cast not being up to snuff, and I finally got a chance to go to an organization that let me have some say, that let me play assistant general manager, put the pieces around me, and look at the success that I was able to have. And now, not only are they talking about the Bucs being the favorites out of the NFC, but Tampa Bay is a destination for players around the NFL, and it basically legitimizes everything that Tom Brady wanted to do.
Well, I think that's where the relationship went south, right, where he had to go around to Kraft to say, hey, you know, he's trying to get rid of me. I still got a lot of football left in me. I still want to play at 45. This is my plan. This is how I'm staying healthy. I'm eating avocado ice cream. But I think once you have that distrust – between, you know, your coach and the player, we can all be big boys because we understand what the business is all about, but it never goes the same, right? It's like when your team tries to trade you because they want to upgrade at the position and the trade falls through. It's like, all right, I understand it's a business, you know, but I can't rock with you like that. Yeah. I'll never give you all of me again. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to worry about more about myself than it was about the team. You heard the teammates, Danny coming out saying, hey, you know, Tom Brady is the Patriot way. So he's saying, I'm going to show you that it's more about me as about the success than it is about you. Because guess what? I'm the one that's taking less money. I'm the reason why people are coming here and taking less money. The same way that in Tampa, the reason that guys are taking less money is to stay with Tom Brady. Not because they love Bruce Arians, not because they love Byron Leftwich. It's because they want to play with Tom Brady because they appreciate that. When have we ever heard a star take less money? We're talking about Aaron Rodgers and why they've only won one there. It's because he's taken too much of the pie. Same thing with Drew Brees. Drew Brees tried to pull a Tom Brady his last year by only taking $25 million so they can go out and get somebody that can help him opposite of Thomas. But like, he's the Patriot way. He's embodied that, and it's his way. So he's like, no, it's
so
more
maybe
about
it should be called the Brady
way. It's more about the Brady way. And that's what he's saying. And I think that was just the cherry on top, the fact that he won in his first year and he watched the organization over there, because he understood that he couldn't win. He looked at Vrabel, who was using, you know, parts of the Patriot way, and he beat Bill because he just had more talent. And at some point, I think Tom looked around like, man, I can't win with these bums. He looked down at Tampa, and he saw what Peyton did. He said, oh, my God. Like, if Jameis Winston can throw for 5,000 yards, if you input my ability to bring everybody together and my ability to figure it out and all of the experience that I have, man, I can win down there year one.
It just is for Tom Brady, you consider, again, 20 years with one place, and he still loves to play. That I think he used the word refreshing. It's just the fresh start.
Yeah,
it's
man.
The new start. It's,
you know,
it's
all your
just,
moves, bro.
Just basically saying, you know what, let me take what I've got and bring it somewhere else and see if it can be successful. And it was, at least in the first year. So let's play a game of Would You Rather. It's KJZ, ESPN Radio, Alan Hom, Bart Scott, Chris Canny in for the guys. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. Okay, so let's start right there with Would You Rather. Let's say, would you rather, and these are all quarterback situations, the Chiefs or the Bucks quarterback situation?
Well, for me, I'd rather have the Chiefs because I think that Mahomes is the best quarterback in the game right now. And I think if they played that game 10 times, I think that the Chiefs win 9 of
those
times.
Even with the offensive line issues they had?
If they had the offensive line. That was a gift to the Bucks because if they would have had the offensive line, their team would have been healthy. And I know, like, listen, I think they got the Chiefs at the right time feeling themselves, thinking they can just turn it on. And because they had beat them before, they thought it was going to be easy. I think I'd rather have Mahomes, the baddest man on the planet. And, you know, they're reloading out there right now.
All right, Chris, before you answer, I just got to do this. You put an asterisk on LeBron's championship in the bubble. Why wouldn't you put an asterisk on Tom Brady's championship because the Chiefs didn't have their offensive line?
I mean, no, you play who you play. Like, the injuries are part of it. The bubble was a different environment. No traveling, certain, you know, different situations. I think different. You know what I mean? I think Pandemic Pete don't have a nervous breakdown if he ain't sitting there, you know, at Magic Kingdom all day for 2 months.
Go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's only one right answer to that question, and that's Pat Mahomes. I mean, I love Tom Brady. I love what he's doing, and I think the Bucks have to be considered the favorite coming into the year. That being said, I'll take the best quarterback in the NFL for the next 10 years. That's
okay.
Pat Mahomes.
Okay. All right, let's move on. The another one that we'll do, would you rather the Panthers or Bears quarterback situation? Remember, Sam Darnold now in Carolina, QB1 is in Chicago.
Is there a door number three?
You gotta pick one.
Listen, I believe in Matt Rhule. I believe in that program that they're trying to build up down there in Carolina, and with the supporting cast that'll be around Sam and the Panthers being armed with the 8th overall pick, I think that's going to be a better quarterback situation. I've seen that Andy Dalton movie before. I don't think it's going to end well for the Bears, and I don't think it's going to end well for Matt Nagy or their general manager Ryan Pace. Yeah. I'll take the Panthers situation.
Well, you talk about current situation, I would definitely take the Panthers, but I think at the end of the day that the quarterback situation in Chicago is going to be Teddy Bridgewater. I think Teddy Bridgewater makes a playoff team already a playoff team much better, and he's good enough to get them maybe to the second round of the playoffs. But right now I'm going to go with the descendant of the Marlboro Man, and I think he'll get it done.
You know, so that was his long-winded way of agreeing with me.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much
how it goes. I couldn't agree with you.
For those who don't know what he's referencing, Sam Darnold's great-grandfather was the Marlboro Man.
Yeah, absolutely.
In case anybody was wondering. Okay, how about this quarterback situation? Would you rather Bengals or Dolphins?
Ew. You know what, Alan? I have a tough time with this one because I love Brian Flores and I love the program that he's building with the Miami Dolphins. I mean, you're talking about a double-digit win team that's knocking on the door of the playoffs.
Yeah.
With all that being said, I'm still up in the air about Tua, and I love what I saw in Joe Burrow in a half a season. I think if they put the pieces around this kid, he can set the NFL on fire. So I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals quarterback situation.
Wow.
Yeah, I think Burrow will be a top 10 quarterback, you know, not this year, but next year, once he gets more confident in his kneecap, you know, and now once they go out, and I think if they go out and get Penei Sewell, I think he'll be legit. And I think what we saw last year, that he was capable of performing at a high level from week one. So I'm definitely going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals.
All right, let's go quickly on this one. I just want to sneak one more in, and I'm really curious to your answers on this. The 49ers or the Patriots quarterback situation? Jimmy G, Cam Newton.
I'm going to go with the 49ers. And here's the thing. I don't know how long Jimmy G will be the quarterback of the Niners because they've got the 3rd overall pick, and they don't trade 3 first-round draft picks in the 3rd overall pick to take a position player. So they're going to take a quarterback, clearly somebody in the draft that Kyle Shanahan has a conviction on. And who am I to say better? I got to trust Kyle Shanahan. I got to trust John Lynch. I think they'll have a good quarterback situation going into the season, much better than the Patriots.
Jared Stidham or Zoolander? I mean, like, who are you going to say? Like, we're talking about a fashion contest. I would take the Patriots and Cam and all his great outfits. But right now, you got to think, which one has the better roster? I think it's still San Francisco. I think they, even with the 3rd pick, they're going to bring in the heir apparent to Jimmy G. I think right now, Jimmy G is a better quarterback than Cam Newton. I have concerns about his accuracy, his ability to stay durable. So I'm definitely going to go with the 49ers.
All right, we have so many. All right, that's again, would you rather? Plenty more on that to talk about as well. Plenty more debates to settle, and maybe we'll be able to settle them coming up next in a few minutes. And also a question about the Cowboys, and should they try to go after Kyle Pitts at another weapon to that offense with Dak Prescott? That's coming up after SportsCenter. This is SportsCenter right now. Kevin Durant returned for the Nets last night after missing 22 games. Durant came off the bench for the second time in his career, and all he did was score 17 points in 19 minutes and didn't miss a damn shot. 5 for 5, 2 for 2 from downtown, 5 for 5 from the free throw line as well. It was the second time in his career he was perfect from the field. The Nets won 139-111 over the Pelicans. In college basketball, Arizona fired coach Sean Miller on Wednesday amid an NCAA probe. Miller's been the Wildcats coach since 2009. He's been part of it, been involved in a federal investigation into corruption in college basketball, which began in 2017. Miller led Arizona to 7 NCAA tournament appearances, but none in the last 3 seasons. Can you feel it today, guys? The Masters. Spring is here. And the Masters begins today on ESPN and ESPN+. The 85th Masters, returning to its traditional spot on the calendar after being played in November last year. Defending champion Dustin Johnson. He tees off at 10:30 a.m. Eastern. Coverage begins at 8:45 a.m. Eastern on ESPN+ and continues at 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. SportsCenter brought to you by Indeed, speeding up the hiring process. Indeed puts the dash in dashboard. Use Instant Match to connect immediately with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Then use your dashboard to conduct interviews. Find out more at Indeed.com/credit. KJZ, ESPN Radio, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, Chris Canny in for the guys. And we are joined right now by Damian Woody, ESPN NFL analyst, who joins us on the Goodyear Hotlines, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Good morning, Damian Woody. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're fighting. We've been fighting since the drop. Like, it's been constant arguments and debates and everything.
D would have been a part of this. He was my locker mate. He was right next to me. He heard me, you know, be a little fire starter. He know I, you know, how I get down. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He always agreed with me.
I know how Bart gets down, so I don't know about that, but I know how Bart
gets. There are several debates that we've been arguing about. I know D Wood is a big basketball fan, so I really do want to like I know we got to get the football with you, but I just got to get it out of the way. Bart was trying to teach us about, you know, the NBA, since I don't know enough about it, apparently. And he believes that Kevin Durant is the most unguardable player in the history of the game. And I said prime Jordan still holds that crown. What do you say?
Well, I mean, I've always been a Jordan fan. I mean, Jordan, just his mentality was he wasn't going to be stopped. But if we're going to look at, you know, the physical traits of Kevin Durant, I think Bart does have a point. You're talking about a guy who's 6'11", who has a, what, 7'7 wingspan or something like that, who can pull up from anywhere on the floor. That's unguardable. That's unguardable. He has handles like a guard. It makes him pretty much unguardable. But I want to give the edge to Jordan just on the mentality that Jordan has, that dog mentality. But Kevin Durant, man, it's just – I don't know seen a freak show like Kevin Durant in the NBA.
That's funny. Yeah, it would. I think your connection dropped out for a little bit there. The only part I heard was that you agreed with me that Jordan is. So we'll just stick with that. On to football we go. So it's interesting. So it sounds like the Cowboys would have some interest in Kyle Pitts if he ends up falling to them. At 10, which I know you laugh, I laugh, because a lot of people think, how could he possibly fall? But he would. What do you think, though, if they would go offense with a first-round pick, knowing that the defense needs so much help?
Well, listen, I think anyone who watched the Dallas Cowboys on defense knows that they were unwatchable on defense last year. There's no question about that. But I think part of that had to do with the defensive coordinator, Mike Nolan, who was there, who's been fired, and now they brought in Dan Quinn. Here's what I'm going to say to your question. To me, Kyle Pitts is the best player in this draft. Mm. He is the best player in this draft. This is someone who's 6'6", has a crazy wingspan, runs a 4'4 at the tight end position. I think this guy is a generational type of guy. Now, I know people will say, well, hell, how many more offensive players does the Dallas Cowboys need, particularly with Dak Prescott and company? But if a guy like that falls to you at 10, which I don't think it will happen, but if a guy like that falls to you at number 10, I think you have to take him, regardless of the needs on defense. Because if Dan Quinn can make the Dallas Cowboys defense watchable, I'm not even saying they got to be in the top half. Just make them watchable with all those pieces on offense. The Dallas Cowboys are going to be scary.
I'm surprised to hear you say that, Wood. I mean, even if the Dallas Cowboys decided to use that 10th pick on the offensive side of the ball, I thought you would have said an offensive lineman. It surprises me that you say a tight end. But, I mean, in looking at the interview that Tom Brady did the other day on Good Morning America, Wood, were you surprised to hear his comments about, knowing that there's another way to do things outside of the Patriot way? Was that surprising, being a former teammate of his, to hear him say that?
No, it's not surprising. I mean, listen, anyone who's been a part of the Patriots organization or the quote-unquote Patriots way know that, you know, it's mentally taxing. It is like Bill Belichick is tough. He is tough on his guys, but there's a lot of reward that comes from that toughness, that preparedness that you get, that's instilled in you in that culture. But listen, Chris, I've been on the other side of that. I played under Rex Ryan, where he's the antithesis of that. And we had a lot of success when I was with the New York Jets. And obviously Tom had a lot of success in his 20-year career with the New England Patriots, but he went down there with Bruce Arians. They had a different way of doing things, and he won a Super Bowl in his first year. So there's more than one way to skin a cat.
What's the deal? What's the ceiling? And what's the expectations for Sam Darnold now that he's going to be a member of the Carolina Panthers? What do you anticipate him doing this year?
Well, listen, Bar, I'm not here to predict numbers or anything, but I think when you look at Sam Darnold and the situation that he's going into, I think it's a tremendous opportunity for him to really highlight the type of player that a lot of people thought he was going to be coming out of USC. I know people talk about the turnovers, and that's been the case with Sam Darnold during his career so far in the NFL. But, I mean, going down to Carolina, you got Matt Rhule, who I'm a huge fan of, the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, a guy who knows how to build programs. And then you have Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator, who's one of the young, bright minds in the National Football League. And they have more weapons. They have better weapons down there in Carolina. So the infrastructure that he's going to be stepping into is much better than when he left with the New York Jets. So if there's ever going to be a time for Sam Darnold, this is now the time for him to really to really meet those expectations that people thought he had 3 years ago coming out of USC.
Yeah, for him, it's definitely a now or never. Damian Woody joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. It's Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, Chris Canty in KJZ, ESPN Radio. And speaking of, so Sam Darnold leaves the Jets. The Jets clearly going to now take a quarterback at number two, and everybody believes it's going to be Zach Wilson. You were part of that offensive line with Mark Sanchez, a rookie quarterback starting, and the team had success with it. If you draft a quarterback at number two, don't you have to play him right away? I mean, do you feel like the Jets can do that and have some success, or is it just going to be a baptism by fire for Zach Wilson?
Well, I think that, it lends you to believe that he's going to be the pick and he's going to play right away. And I think this situation is much different than when Sam Darnold walked into the New York Jets organization, because I think everyone is aligned at the hip. You got Joe Douglas, who handpicked Robert Saleh as the head coach. Okay, they had a bunch of cap space to spend to upgrade the roster. They got a bunch of draft picks between this year and next year to really surround their young quarterback if it's Zach Wilson. So this is a much different scenario that a young quarterback is going to be walking into.
Wood, I got to ask you about the team that's going to be picking after the Jets, the 49ers. Now, I know everybody and their mama is saying that the pick is going to be Mac Jones, but there was word that came out yesterday that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are going to try to attend the pro day that Justin Fields is going to have, that workout that he's going to have next week. So I got to put the question out there to you. If you've got the number three overall pick and you're going with a quarterback, who are you taking if Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence is off the board?
I'm taking Justin Fields because I believe that if you're trading up, they traded all the way up to number three. I'm going to trade up for a guy who has elite traits that you can't teach. Okay. We all believe that Kyle Shanahan is one of, if not the best offensive mind in the National Football League. We've seen him do it with a multitude of players, whether it's RG3, Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan. You mean to tell me that if you got a guy in Justin Fields, 6'3", 230, runs 4'4", can make all the throws, do all the things that all these other quarterbacks can do and played on the biggest stage at Ohio State, you can't bring out the best in Justin Fields? And that's not a knock on Mac Jones, because I think Mac Jones is a fine player. But also, when you look at Mac Jones, dude, he played at Alabama behind the best offensive line. Got all the, like, Heisman Trophy winner at wide receiver. He got, what, three or four wide receivers that's going in the first round over the last couple of years. So this man has been surrounded by elite talent. And so I'm just saying, if you're gonna trade up to number three, I'm gonna go with the guy who has elite traits that can separate himself. And to me, that's Justin Fields.
It's amazing how everybody has that same reaction when it comes to Mac Jones going number three. It's like as if nobody wants to believe it, but it's all you're hearing. So of course we'll see what happens. D Wood, great to catch up with you. Thanks so much for the insight. We'll talk to you soon.
KD.
All right, take it easy, guys.
I don't know if he agreed with you. I think he was.
He did, but he felt bad for you, so he like tried to circle back around.
I don't think that was it at all. Yeah, he was just trying to make sure that you weren't out there on that limb by yourself.
You agree with me.
I didn't agree with you.
So more arguing coming up next.
You didn't say KD was the most.
Chris Canty is going to tell you why the Cowboys should not draft Kyle Pitts. Did you know you were going to do that? Because if you don't, you are. That is coming up after this.
I actually thought it was a good move
from Cintas. Well, today, people expect a new level of clean. Cintas provides a wide range of essential products and services that help businesses keep their facilities and employees clean and safe. Cintas will keep you well-stocked with essential supplies like face masks, hand sanitizer, gloves, and thermometers. Cintas will hygienically clean and deliver your uniforms. Cintas also helps you protect employees and customers with first aid and safety supplies and fire protection services. Cintas helps you open your doors with confidence every day. Learn how Cintas can help you keep your business clean and safe at Cintas.com. Get Cintas and get ready for the workday.
Hey, it's Greeny, and Thursday, not one, but two legends will join me live. Kurt Warner and Dwight Freeney talking football with you. It's Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
I'm J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, Chris Canty, in for the guys. Keyshawn and Zubin will be back next week. J. Will and his wife Nikki expecting their second child, so we wish them all the best, of course. We'll hold it down for them in the meantime. And you heard all of that right there, all the different reactions and comments. It's Kyle Pitts, the tight end from Florida, that a lot of people think, as we talk so much quarterbacks, guys, at the top of the draft. And there was one point we thought 1 through 4 is going to be quarterbacks. But Pitts is probably the one player, as you also heard there, I think it was Mel Kiper who said, is as far as non-quarterback, probably the most talented, best non-quarterback player in this draft. So with that in mind, where is he going to go with so much emphasis on quarterbacks? And then obviously there's the wide receivers that everybody's excited about as well. So at first you thought Pitts was going to go very high. But now there's, in the latest mocks, there's some slippage. And Chris Mortensen, our ESPN NFL insider, on SportsCenter had a very interesting take about where he could land. Take a listen.
Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, and the GM, being infatuated with Kyle Pitts. So I have figured out that he's going to have to trade up to get Kyle Pitts. And I think he'll offer Emmitt Smith and Larry Allen, maybe throwing Michael Irvin. He doesn't need Tony Romo, but he has Dak Prescott. And he spent $40 million a year on Dak Prescott. So why not go get Kyle Pitts? Or if he actually falls to 10, you couldn't rule him out.
Chris, it sounds interesting. Add another weapon. Obviously, we know how important tight end is, and the Cowboys have had a great one for a very long time. But still, defense has been an issue for them.
Yeah.
So you feel like Kyle Pitts, if the Cowboys had a chance to get Kyle Pitts and they decide to do it, whether it's trade up or not, you say that's a mistake.
Yeah, I don't think they should be trading up for a tight end, Alan. And for as great as Kyle Pitts is, and I love the player, tight end is a luxury pick for where the Dallas Cowboys are at right now.
Interesting.
I mean, they have so many other needs as a team. I know a lot of people are projecting that they're going to take a defensive back. Corner Patrick Surtain has been linked to them. J.C.
Right.
Horn out of South Carolina is another one. I mean, if you look at their roster, there's probably only one corner that you would say that's on there that you would trust, and that's a second-year player in Trevon Diggs. And he struggled in the first half of his rookie season. So corner is a glaring need for him. I also think offensive line is a position that they got to take a long, hard look at because their left tackle, Tyron Smith, missed 14 games last year with a neck injury. And, Bart, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but when guys have neck injuries or back injuries, those aren't things that get better as your career goes on.
Yeah.
So I think they got to start to look to retool that offensive line. Keep in mind, they just paid Dak Prescott $40 million a year on a contract. You got to protect that investment. You got to make sure that you get the homeowner's insurance when you buy the house. To me, that will be securing that offensive line and making sure that your quarterback stays upright more so than it would be to go after another weapon.
Yeah, see, but if I'm Dan Quinn, I'm saying, hey, if Pitts is there, take him. Don't worry about the defense. I got the easiest thing to fix in the NFL, I think, is defense. Because defense is more about execution and effort. Right? It's more about executing an effort, right? And you understand, like, it's going to be a cover three bend, don't break. And the best defense is a great offense. And the fact that that's going to continue to put pressure on the opposing team, and the fact that you can allow to put points on the board and make teams one-dimensional. Listen, I don't think that the Dallas Cowboys' problem was a personnel issue. Because you look at it. What do teams want? They want people that can affect the game at different levels on the court, on the field. Right? DeMarcus Lawrence is going to affect the field. Randy Gregory is a guy that can reflect. You can't depend on him, but he's a guy that when there can affect it. So then you go to the second level of the defense. They got Van Der Esch and Jalen Smith, I think, will be a better player this year and kind of show us why he got paid the money. Right? So you have impact players at the linebacker position. But then you think about Diggs. He's going to be in a cover three, bend, don't break. Don't let the ball get over your head. We're going to make sure that we make teams beat us and methodically move the ball down the field. And I think it's still some free agencies that they can bring in. I think they go out and get Richard Sherman. He's a guy that can teach Diggs how to play that system. He's still serviceable. He still can be not your number one corner, but he can be your number two. And remember what they did already. They already had a reunion with Keanu Neal, who's coming in to play Will linebacker. But before Jamal Adams, before who's the guy out in San Diego? Well, not San Diego. Derwin James.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was electric. It was the injuries that took Keanu Neal out of the status of being the best safety or the inbox safety in the game. So now you bring him there. He's 25 years old. He's a hit stick. So now you have more thump there. You have enforcers there. You can fix that. Give me points because that's how you win in this league. And the defense are going to come up with opportunistic times, whatever. Spell check me. To be able to
we
make,
got you. We got you. We're following you.
Here's
what I will say. You're talking about getting you points on the offense. I understand you got to score to be able to win the game, but the Dallas Cowboys formula since Dak Prescott has been the quarterback has been making sure you control time of possession.
Yes.
They're a double-digit win team when they're top 10 in time of possession. The way you do that is controlling the offensive line. I think the Cowboys are plenty enough explosive when you look at their skill position players, but that offensive line in years that they've been down has been the biggest issue. And so to me, you have to have – that identity in order for your team to have success. The Cowboys' identity has been the offensive line and Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. So I think they got to get back to that formula. And all the injuries that they've had the last couple of years up front have really taken a toll on this team. So if they can kind of get back to that, I think that's
that's going to be what catapults them into the conversation to win the division and to be in the playoffs. I don't necessarily look at Kyle Pitts as being that guy to help them create that identity.
Yeah, it's just it's what it is, the allure of somebody that could be the best at his position for a very long time.
Sure, best player available philosophy, yes. But you also have to look at it
this
way.
But you've got major needs of that offensive line, and you feel like that's going to be most important to protect him.
You do, but you don't.
I get it. And Bart also is basically saying that it's more about the X's and O's than the Jims and Joes on the defense. He feels like you can fix it. So interesting stuff there on the Cowboys. And coming up, which quarterback on a new team, we've had a few, will have the most success this season? We'll discuss next.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.